Today's Amud is Tainis Chavezim and Aleph. We're holding on Chafala from Abaze, 11 lines from the bottom, the end of the line, Abu Umana. So we're continuing to say, the Gemara is continuing to tell us some different Sipurei Tzadika. So says the Gemara now about Abu Umana. Umana means he was a bloodletter, some sort of form of refuah that they had, Bizman Chazal was to bloodlet. So Abu Umana, Abba the bloodletter, Hava Asi Le Shalma Mimisifted the Rakia Kol Yoima. He was Zaycha, that he received the Shalom Aleichem from the Mesifta Dirakia every single day. Every single day, Abasko would come out and would give Shalom to Abu Umana. Ula Abaye ko mali yoima deshabsa. Abaye would get this Shalom every single Erev Shabbos. Ula Rava ko mali yoima de Kippure. And Rava would get this Shalom every single Erev Yom Kippur. So we know Abai and Rava from all over Shas. Abu Umana was even seemingly on a level higher than Abai and Rava. Abu Umana was Zaycha to get the Shalom Aleichem from the Mesifta Derekiyo every single day. And Abaye only every Erev Shabbos. So says the Gemara, have a kochol shadaita da Abaye mishum da Abu Umana. Abaye knew that he was only getting this Shalom Aleichem every Erev Shabbos. Abu Umana was getting the Shalom Aleichem every single day, so he felt bad. He felt Chalisha Sadas that Abu Umana is seemingly on a higher madriga than him, that he's getting the Shalom Aleichem every single day. So Amru Lei, so they comforted Abaye, and they told Abaye, Lei Matzis Lemeved Ko'ovde. That no, you shouldn't worry, his taka is greater. You can't do what he does. At least in a certain way, he's greater than you. You are unable to do what he does. So says the Gemara, okay, this is sounding interesting. Umay Havo Ovde. So what was Abu Umana's practice? What exactly did he do? How big of a masman was he? How many times did he finish Shas? Says the Gemara, Mayavu Uvde Dav Umana. What was this practice of Abu Umana that made him so great? Says the Gemara, he was a doctor. However, says the Gemara, Dikiava Avin Milsa, when he would bloodlet, Hava Machiz Gavra Luchud Venashe Luchud. He was very makbid on Sneas in his doctor's office. He was very makbid that there was a separate waiting room for the men than there was for the women. They bloodlet in different areas. There was a separate place for the men than there was for the women. The Isle Levusha, and he had a certain cloak, he had a certain jacket type of thing, the Isbe Karna, that had in it a tube for the bloodletting, the Havis Bezia Ki Kusilta, and it had a hole in this by the tube into the shirt, at a hole mamish just the size of the needle that he needed to bloodlet, a very tiny hole. And Kiava Asile Issa, when a woman would come for bloodletting, have a Malbishla, he would put this on her, so that when he was bloodletting from the lady, she didn't have to uncover anything. She wore this shirt, and there was nothing that was uncovered. The only thing was this little needle's hole, and that needle was for the bloodletting kli. And therefore, he was very makbid on sneas. Ve'isle duchta de tznia. He also had a very private area, the Shadi Bepshiti Deshako. And that's where people paid whatever fee that he took, whatever fee Abu Umana said is the fee. So people would go and they would put their money in this very private designated area. And the Isle Shadi Be, a person who had the money to pay for their server for Abu Umana's service, so they would pay. And the Lasle, Lay Mixif, and this way somebody who didn't have money, he needed to bloodlet but didn't have the money to pay for it, he didn't have to be embarrassed. Because Abu Umana wasn't collecting the money, the secretary wasn't collecting the money, it all went into this private area, and so nobody knew who paid, who didn't pay. If you had money, you paid. If you didn't have money, you didn't have to be embarrassed. And Kiave Isramile Tzorba Mirabanan, when a Talmud Chacham would come to his office, Agramine Lai Shakol, he didn't take any money from him. He told him that it's free. He didn't want to take money from him. The person was spending his time learning. We didn't want to take his money. Ubasar Dekai, and more than that, after the Tzorba Mirabanan, Rabbanan would get up from bloodletting, so Yahiv Leib Shichtei. So Abu Umana would actually pay the Talmud Chacham. He would give him money, Va'amar Lei, and he would tell the Avrich, he would tell him, Zil Bari Nafshach, go make sure you're healthy, go make sure you get something to drink, something to eat, like the Gemara and Shabbos says, it's very important after a person bloodlets to eat and to drink, and therefore Abu Umana would actually give money to the Tzorban Rabbanan after he took his blood. And Yahim Achad, one day, so Shadar Rabbaye Zugud Rabbanan Lemid. So Abaye heard about how great Abu Umana was. He wanted to check him out. He wanted to see how great he really was. So he sent a pair of Rabbanan to go check him out, to go test Abu Umana. And what happened? Izvinu va'achlinu va'ashkenu. So Abu Umana, he gave them a place to sit, he gave them to eat, he gave them to drink. Umachluhu bistarke belelia. And he gave them some nice fancy cushions and linens for them to sleep at night. He gave the mamish all the best linens. And it says the Gemara that letzah for the following morning, karchinu v'shaklinu. So these Tamid HaChachamim who were sleeping by Abu Umana's house, so they folded up the linen and they took it with them to go. They took it in their suitcase and they left. The kamun, they got up, v'nafkuluhu the shuka, and they went to the shuk, v'ashkachinu, and they found Abu Umana there. So amrulei, so they said to Abu Umana, look, we have these sheets, we want to sell them in the shuk, we want to make some money, this is our business. L'shai meimar, hechi shavu, why don't you come tell us how much you think it's worth? So amar lehu, so Abu Umana says to them, hachi v'hachi, I think it's worth X amount of dollars. So amrulei, so they say back to Abu Umana, v'dil mashavu tfei, maybe it's really worth more, maybe you're not getting us what our full money's worth. So amar lehu, so Abu Umana says back to them, that v'hachi shaklinu, that no, that's how much I bought them for, I know exactly how much it's worth, because they're mine. So amrulei, so they say to Abu Umana, really it seems like the way the Ben Ishchai explains is that he wasn't telling them bust it. What he was telling them was, v'hachi shaklinu, I have the exact same ones. Wow, what a coincidence. You have the same ones that you're selling. I have these at home. And I know how much they're worth because that's how much I bought them for. So amrulei, so they turn themselves in and they say, no, actually, they're actually yours, with shaklinu minachem, we took them from you. Now, it seems like Abba Umana maybe did know, because amrulei, they say to him, they say, these two Rabbanan, they say to Abba Umana, b'metusa minach, we beg you, b'may chashad, what were you suspecting us of when you saw that we took your sheets at night in the morning? So what did you suspect us of? So Amar Lahu, so Abu Umana says to them that Amina Pidyon Shvuyam Ikla Lahu Lurabanan. I figured it must be there was some sort of captive that you needed, that the Rabbanan needed money to redeem these captives. V'achsifu l'meimarli, and maybe you were embarrassed to tell me, maybe there was something that you didn't want to say to me, you were embarrassed to ask me directly for the money, so you figured you would take the sheets. You knew anyways I was chayiv to help out, to support, to return the hostages, and so you figured you'll just take the sheets. So amrulei, so they say to him, hashtad nashaklin umar, okay, fine, so now Lamaisa, take it back, because, so first of all, you see Abu Mana that he was down them lekafschus, that he wasn't suspecting them of anything, of trying to steal from him. He gave them the benefit of the doubt. But Lamaisa, they were just checking him. So Amrulay, so they say to him, Hashtan Nishaklin Umar. And now maybe take it back. You know, it was all just a test, so why don't you take it back? So Amar Luhu, so Abu Mana says back to them, that no, Miahu Shaita Asachtinu Midaita Yulitzdaka. From that moment on, once I saw you taking it, I figured it was for Pidyon Shvuyim. I already was Mesiach my das, and I said that I'm giving it over for tzedakah. Whatever the tzedakah is, it's for tzedakah. And therefore, even though maybe it's not mechayiv him, it was all just a test. But lema'isa, he went lefnim mishur sadin, and Abu Umana said, "No, it's going to be for tzedakah, and I'm not taking it back." Now back to what we mentioned before. So this was the greatness of Abu Umana, and he was zayichet to get shalom from the Masifta Derekiah every single day. We said Abaye got it every erev Shabbos, and Rava every erev Yom Kippur. So says the Gemara now that Hava Kachal Shadaite the Rava Misham de Abaye, that Rava had chalishas adas because of Abaye. That hey, it seems like Abaye is doing better than me. He has one up on me. I only get the shalom every erev Yom Kippur, and Abaye is getting it every erev Shabbos. So Amrulei, so they say to Rava, To comfort him, they say that no, misasiach dekamagnis akulu karcha. That no, it should be enough for you. It's in your zchus that the whole entire krach, the whole city is protected in your zchus, and therefore really you have a one up over Abaye. Now the Gemara is very difficult to understand, because if Rava really had this over Abaye, that his zchus was protecting the entire city, so then and that made him one up over Abaye. So then why wasn't he getting shalom from the Masifta Derekiah more often than Abaye? So it's like sort of mimanivshach. If Abaye was one up, so then how was this comforting Rava? And if Rava's one up, so then why was Abaye getting more shalom aleichem from the Masifta Derekiah? So that's a little bit of a difficulty with this Gemara. Al-Kabana, we mentioned this Gemara to say over the story of Abu Umana, how he acted as a doctor. And now the Gemara continues with some more Sipuri Tzadikim. Now again, once again, just like with Abu Umana, these aren't Sipuri Tzadikim. tzaddikim, like you and I would probably imagine. Typically, when we think of Sipur tzaddikim in the Gemara, we're going to talk about Abaye, we're going to talk about Rava, we're going to talk about the Tanayim and Amoraim that we all know. Here we have a story about Abu Umana, which probably most people never heard of him except for from this Gemara, other than this Gemara. So you never heard of Abu Umana. He was a, so to speak, classic Balabas. And also in the next stories that the Gemara is going to bring, when we say over Sipurei Tzadikim, they're not going to be Tzadikim that you and I typically have heard of, other than from this Gemara. You see from these Gemaras, though, an unbelievable thing, that even the Balabas, a person, any person in his field, whatever he's doing in life, so he has a way of serving Hashem, and he could do it in a way that he could be mamish holding in the, on levels in certain ways greater than Abaye v'Rava. If a person does his job, whatever person's job. So, and everyone in their field has an ability and responsibility to be mekadeshim shemayim in his way. I was just zeicha actually this past, a couple of days ago, Erev Yom Tov, I was zeicha to meet Mamish, and Mamish, a very special bachur. He came to Rav Yaakov Hillel to ask him. He said he's becoming an engineer, and one of the projects that they're having at the end of the year, when finishing his course, is they have to take an idea that they have, and they have to create it as part of becoming an engineer. So they have to have an idea, whatever their idea is, they could choose whatever idea they have, and to create something. So this bachur went and he asked Rav Yaakov Hillel, he said, I want to do something for Klal Yisrael. I'm creating something. I should do something that's going to help Klal Yisrael. He asked him, do you have anything specific in mind that you wish existed and doesn't exist? Whatever it is, I'm going to try to create it. That's the way this person was thinking. He wants to do something for Klal Yisrael as an engineer, Abu Uman as a doctor, whatever a person's profession is, whatever he's doing in life, there's a way to serve Hashem in that way, in his field, and to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, Bechol Derech Echadeyu, and which whichever way a person has to serve Hashem, whatever a person's doing, he could do it in a way that's mamish, that's serving Hashem, and as we're about to see, he could be mamish a ben olam haba walking around in this world. It says the Gemara, Rebreika Chayzah, have a shchiach b'shuka de Beilefet. That Rebreika Chayzah, he was commonly found in the shuk of the Beilefet. That's where he did his shopping. And have a shchiach Eliyahu Gabe, and Rebreika Chayzah was Zaycha, that he had Eliyahu and Avi that was always by him. And Amar Lei, one day he turns to Eliyahu and Avi, I don't know why all of a sudden on this day he woke up, he asked Eliyahu Navi a question. He said, Ika b'hayshuka bar alma da'asei, is there someone in this shuk that's a ben olam haba? I want to know, is there someone walking around this shuk today that's a bar alma da'asei, that's a ben olam haba? Now the Taras Chaim points out in Mesechus Sanhedrin on Pechasa Mebeis, the Taras Chaim points out that we just, you know, Klal Yisrael's learning Mesechus Avos, we just said, Kol Yisrael yesham chelek olam haba. Every Jew has a chelek in olam haba. So what is this question that Reb Breika Chayza was asking Eliyahu Navi, is there a ben olam haba walking around in this shuk? Of course, to your right and to your left, every single yid is a ben olam haba. Kol Yisrael, yesham chelek olam haba. What was his question? Says the Teres Chaim that everybody has a chelek olam haba, but not everybody is a ben olam haba. What's the difference between having a chelek in olam haba and being a ben olam haba? Says the Teres Chaim that a person, every Jew is zeichet olam haba, but that only comes sometimes after misa chibud hakever. There's the punishments in Gehenim. He wanted to know, Reb Breika Chayza wanted to know, is there someone walking around that right now he's a Ben Olam Haba? He's not going to have to go through any Ayin Shem. He's already walking around today as a Ben Olam Haba, as Kashir Husham, as he is right now, and he's not going to have to go through any of the punishments. So Amar Lei, so Eliyahu Navi responds to Reb Breika Chayza, that there's no one right now in the Shuk that's a Ben Olam Haba, that right now Kashir Husham is a Ben Olam Haba. Ado Hachi V'Hachi, as they're walking through the shuk, so chazalahu gavro, so they see a certain man, the havasayim misane uchme, he's wearing black shoes, which we'll see soon, that was not the normal thing, even though really we had the Gemara and Beitzah, tezvavam and aleph, which made it seem that the black shoes were the normal shoes. We said the white shoes weren't normal. Black shoes are normal. So here we're going to see in this Gemara that black shoes are not normal. So the truth is, Tosfos are being the parrots already, and Beitzah asked the question, that the Gemara and Beitzah is mashma, that black shoes are normal. Here we see that they see somebody who seems strange. And one of the things that's described about him, that he looks strange, is that he's wearing black shoes. What do you mean? The Gemara and Beitzah, the Mishnah and Beitzah, black shoes are normal. Says Tosfos are being the parrots. He brings it from Rabbeinu Tam, that that of course black shoes are normal, but the Yidden in the times of Chazal that wore black shoes with white laces, with white laces. That was typical to wear black shoes with white laces. The Goyim wore black on black. And this person, they're walking in the Shuk, and they see this person, he's wearing black on black. Weirdo, right? He's wearing black on black. He almost looks like a guy. And he's now wearing tzitzis on his shirt. He doesn't have tzitzis. Mamish, he looks like a guy. So Amar Lei and Eliyahu Navi, he turns to Rabbi Chayza. He says, "You were asking if there's anyone here today that's a Ben Olam Haba? Hi, Bar Alma da Asehu. This guy right here, he's a Ben Olam Haba. Kashir Husham, right now, he's going straight to Olam Haba." So Rahad Basrei, Rabbi Chayza wants to meet the guy. He runs over to him. And Amar Lei, and he says to the man, he says, "Mayoy Vodach, what's your business? What do you do? Tell me about yourself." So Amar Lei, so the man says back to Rabbi Chayza, "Zil ha'idna v'sala machar. I can't talk to you right now. Go come back tomorrow and we could discuss this tomorrow." So l'machar, the next day, Rabbi Chayza is excited. He goes and he meets this person. And Amar Lei, and again he tells him, "Mayoy Vodach, what do you do? What's your business? Tell me about yourself." So Amar Lei, so the man says to Rabbi Chayza, "I don't know why you're asking. I'll tell you the truth. Zandukana ana. I'm a guardsman in the jail. I've asarna gavri l'chud v'nashi l'chud. So what I do is very simple. I'm the guard in the jail. So I make sure that there's some tznius in the jail." Again, the tznius is in the profession. That's what made this person the ben olam haba. Anyway, so he tells Rabbi Chayza that what I do is I make sure it's a tznius matziv. I separate the men and the women, that the men are locked up with men and the women are locked up alone with the woman, and this way they're all separate. V'ramena puryayi bein hani lahani, and I put my bed between the two cells. Kihechi deloy leisi l'dei yisura, so no one should come and do any yisurim. And more than that, he says, Kichazina bas yisrael diyavi nachir malo inayu. When I see a bas yisrael, when I see a Jewish lady, that the goyim, there's nachrim there that are looking at her. So misarna nafshoi, I'm meiser nefesh umatzil nala, and I save her. I make sure that nothing bad happens to her. And I get in between the Goyim and this lady. And Yoy Machad, one day, he tells him a story that actually happened. Havas Nara Mai Rasa Gabon. There was a Naira, there was a lady who was just engaged, and she was in this jail for whatever reason. The Yavu Beinachar Meinayu, and there was Goyim that were there in the jail that were looking at her. They wanted to be with her. So what did I do? So Shakli Dordaya de Chamra. So I took some red wine, Ushadaila Bishipula, and I put it at the edge of her blouse. I made her garment, her dress, dirty with this wine. Va'amri, and I said to the Goyim, Distanahi, what are you looking at her for? She's a Nida. You don't see the dam, you don't see the blood. Why would you want to be with her? And like that, I was able to save her. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Chayza, he hears about this amazing person, how he's meiser nefesh and he's so makbid in his job, and his job of being a guardsman in a jail, he makes sure to serve Hashem and to do it l'shem shemayim, to do it to be mekadesh shem shemayim in his profession. He just has a few more questions. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Chayza, he says to this guard, he says to him, this jail guard, he says, "My time lesla chute v'ramis mesani ukme. So could you please explain to me why you don't wear tzitzis and why you're wearing black on black? Why are you wearing black shoes? Could you explain your mode of dress to me?" So Amar Lei, he says, "Yes, I'll explain it to you. That a yilna v'nafekna b'nei nachrim. I go all the time in and out between the goyim, and kihechi deloy leidu dihudo ana, and I don't want them to realize that I'm a Jew. Why don't I want them to realize that I'm a Jew? Because this way I get to hear all their secrets. Kihavu gazri gezirta, when they are discussing that they're being gezer gzeira against the yidden, so imaydana luhulu Rabbanan, I'm able to go and tell the Rabbanan. I go to the Rabbanan and I tell them that I overheard at the Goyim that they're making this gezera. Ubayu rachame, and the Rabbanan are able to daven. Umevatli ligezertayu, and they're able to be mevatel the gezera. So therefore, I don't want them to notice that I'm a Jew. This way, they say over their secrets." So says Rabbi Chayza, one last question. Umay taima ki amenulach, ana, may oivadach. How come when I asked you yesterday, what's your job? What do you do? Vamartali zil inna vatalamachar. Why did you tell me to come back today? Come back tomorrow? Why didn't you just tell me right away what you do? So Amar Lei, so he said to him, because bahi shaita gazri gezerta. It was at that moment I just found out about Exera that the Goyim were being geyser. Vamina, and therefore I said to myself, Beresha ezel ve'eshma luhulu Rabbanan. I want to first rush and go to the Rabbanan to go and tell them the Lebayi Rachni Ala the Milsa, so that they should go ahead and they should daven about this Gzeira and make the Gzeira go away. So I didn't want to take any time to talk to you at the time. I needed to go tell the Rabbanan about the Gzeira. Adahachi v'ahachi, as Rebbeke Chayza is schmoozing with this fellow, so asu hanach trei ache. So there's two brothers that pass by, and Amarle, and Eliyahu Navi says to Rebbeke Chayza, hanach nami b'nei amada aseinenu. Look, today also we're zaycha, a pair of b'nei oilam haba. These people, kashir hu sham, kashir heim sham, as they are now, they're b'nei oilam haba. So azu l'gabayu, Rebbeke Chayza is excited, he gets to meet another, some more b'nei oilam haba. He goes to greet them, Amar Luhu, he says to them, what's your business? What do you guys do? So they say to him, we're just simple men. We're just people. We're comedians. We like to make people happy. We like to see the positive in things in life. And we go ahead and we make people happy. And we make those that seem sad, we make them happy. Inami, or also, when we see two people that they're having a fight, perhaps a husband and wife, or any two people that they're having a fight, so tarchina and vavdina and luhu shalma. So we make sure to make shalom amongst them. We make sure to make peace amongst them. That's what we do. Unbelievable. Klal Yisrael, we're such special, we're such incredible people. You see, Rebbeke Chayza was fortunate enough that he had Eliyahu Navi point these people out to him, point these hidden tzaddikim out to him. The real kunst, though, is to be able to do this on our own without Eliyahu Navi's help. To see the tzaddikim that are all around us, we're zaycha all around us, yidden are so special, we're zaycha to have tzaddikim all around us. The kunst is to be able to find that, to find the tzidkus and all of those, to open our eyes and to train our eyes to see the tzidkus and all the people around us. Says the Gemara Vayter now, Al Elu Masriyim Bechol Makim, that for the following things we mentioned in the Mishnah, a whole list of things that we fast and we blow shayfer right away. So Satan Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, Al Elu Masriyim Bechol Makim, Al Shidafin, Val Yerakoin, Val Arbe, V'chasil. So these are all things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, different things that are destroying the crops, or Arbe V'chasil is grasshoppers, locusts that are also destroying the crops, Val Chayara, and if there's a wild animal. So now the Braisa just adds that Rabbi Akiva, that these things that are destroying the crops, even if it's just the kolshu, even if they're just destroying it a little bit, as soon as you see something like that, right away you're masriyan. And also, arbe v'chasil, also when it comes to locusts, afilu le'nira be'eretz Yisrael, ela kanaf echon, even if all you see in Eretz Yisrael is just one wing, meaning one grasshopper, masriyan aleihan. So right away you're masriyan. So these are details that we didn't have in the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned that we fast for these things. The Bryce is adding that even if it's just a tiny amount, that already warrants to be that we're masriyan. Valchaya v'chulu, we mentioned in the Mishnah, also in this Braisa, that also for a chaya ra, if a person sees an animal, so a dangerous animal, so that also you're masriyan. So says the Gemara, now the Gemara brings a Braisa, which also elaborates on what exactly this means, that if you see a chaya, so then you have to be masriyan. Meaning, obviously, if a person goes to the zoo, and he sees a chaya, so you're not masriyan, right? Because animals are supposed to be in the zoo. Or if you go to the jungle, you go on a safari, and you see a wild animal, that's not a reason to be masriyan. So it says, so what exactly does it mean that you're masriyan al chaya ra? Says the Gemara, says the Braisa Tanu Rabbanan, we learned that chaya ra sha'amru, when they said that you're masriyan for a chaya ra, it's bizman shu mishulachas. Then masriyan aleha. It's only if it's mishulachas, that's when you're masriyan on it. So what does it mean to be mishulachas? So really the Braisa is going to go ahead in the Hemshech and explain it to us, but just the taich of mishulachas, it means it was sent. It means it was sent from Hashem. If you see a chaya ra in a weird way, that this is clearly being sent from Hashem. This is not typical. It's not in the zoo. This is in the open, and it's in a weird way. So that's something that you're masriyan on, because then that's clearly a gzeir from Hashem. But eina mishulachas, if it doesn't seem like it's sent from Hashem, so to speak, meaning everything seems pretty natural, so then ein masriyan aleha, that's not something that you're masriyan for. So says the Braisa to explain itself, eizi mishulachas veizi yish eina mishulachas. So what exactly does this mean, mishulachas and eina mishulachas? Says the Braisa, the nearest be'ir mishulachas. If you see it in the city, you see a wild animal, you see a bear in the city, that's strange. That's mishulachas. Besada ain't a mishulachas. If you see it in the fields, in the forest, place, so then that's not mishulachas. That's a normal place to find the beer. Biyoim mishulachas. If you see it in the middle of the day, so that's also strange. The chayra is typically going to be scared to be out in the middle of the day. But laila ain't a mishulachas. But if you see it at night, so that's not mishulachas. Ras hashnei bnei adam v'ratzach reyen. If it sees two people and the chayra runs after them, mishulachas. That's strange. Animals are typically scared. If it's running after them, so that's mishulachas. Nechbeis bipnehen ain't a mishulachas. But if the animal hides when it sees the two people, so then that's not mishulachas. Tarfish nebnei adam v'achla echad mehen. If it attacks two people and it only eats up one of them, so that's mishulachas. That's strange. It didn't eat up both. That's strange. That's mishulachas. Achla shnehen ain't a mishulachas. But if it attacks two people and it eats both of them, so then stam, the animal was very hungry, so that's not mishulachas. Also legag v'not latinuk me'areisa and a me'areisa. Also, if it goes to the roof of a building and it takes a tinuk, it takes a baby from its crib, so that's also mishulachas. That's very strange for an animal to do such a thing, and that would be considered mishulachas. So now the Gemara explains that hagufa kasha, it seems like a stira minei ubei, what we just said. And there's three stiras in this braisa, also minei ubei. Stira number one, says the Gemara, that first amrit nirasa beir mishulachas. You said if you find it in the city, if you find a bear in the middle of Manhattan, so that's mishulachas. But then you said, so that's mashmo loishna b'yoyim v'loishna b'layla. You said in the city, you said stam. In the city, it's automatically mishulachas. It sounds like it doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime. V'hadar amrit, but then you say, that b'yoyim mishulachas, b'layla ain't a mishulachas. That only if you see the animal in the daytime, it's mishulachas. And not at night. So it sounds like only if it's at day, not at night. So it's a stira minei ubei. Says the Gemara, like Kasha, it's not a stira. Hachi kamar. But this is what the Braisa means to say. That nirasa be'ir b'yoyim mishulachas. If you see it both in the city and it's during the daytime, that's when it's considered mishulachas. But be'ir b'layla ain't a mishulachas. If you see it in the city and at night, that's not mishulachas. So the second line of the Braisa was really explaining the first line. In the first line, we said that if you see it in the city, it's mishulachas. The Braisa then goes on to explain that it's only if you see it during the day, but not if you see it at night. Inami, says the Gemara, that besadeh afilu b'yoyim ain't a mishulachas. And if it's in the fields, then even at daytime it's not mishulachas. It's only if it's in the city and it's during the day, that's when it's mishulachas. Now the Gemara asks the second stira. We mentioned that rasa shnei b'nei adam v'ratzach rehen mishulachas. If the animal sees two people and it runs after them, so that's mishulachas. Animals are typically scared of people. If it runs after the people, that's mishulachas. Mashma ha'aymen. That's mashma that if the animal doesn't hide, if it just stands there, so then it's not mishulachas. If it just stands, that's not mishulachas. Then you say only if the animal runs away and it goes to hide, that's when it's not mishulachas. That's mishulachas. Mashma, if it stands where it is, that is considered mishulachas. So which one is it? Is aymedes considered mishulachas or ain't a mishulachas? Says the Gemara like Asher, it's not a stira. Kam besada asmucha la'agam, kam besada she'en asmucha la'agam. If you're by a field that's next to a swamp, so then the animal feels naturally more comfortable because it knows that it can always just run to the swamp. So in such a case, when the animal just stands still, so that's ain't a mishulachas, because it's normal for an animal not to run away in such a situation and just to stand still because it knows it's protected, it's right by the agam. But when it's by a field that's not smucha la agam, so then the natural thing is that if the animal sees people, it's going to run away and hide. That's when we say that if it stands still, that it's considered mishulachas. So that's how we get out of that stira. And that's the Gemara third stira. We said that tarfa shnei b'nei adam va'achla echad mehen, that if it attacks two people and it only eats one of them, so that's mishulachas. But shnehem ain't a mishulachas. But if it eats both of them, so then it's not mishulachas. Now the question is here the Braisa says if it eats two people, it's not mishulachas. But v'ha'amrit afilu ratzasa. You said even if the animal just runs after the two people, that's already considered mishulachas. So how can it be that if it eats them, that it's not mishulachas? Amra papa kitani ahi ba'agma. Again, we're using the agam for the answer. When it's by an agam, so then if it runs after them, that's not considered mishulachas. If it runs after them, that's not mishulachas. If it's mamish in the agam, because it feels very safe. Inside the agam, the animal feels very safe. Then it's only if it eats one of the two people, that's when we consider it mishulachas. But if it's not in the agam itself, if it's only samuch to the agam, so then even if it just runs after them, that's already considered strange. That would already be considered mishulachas. Now the Gemara just has one final kasha on the braisa. This is not a stira, but this is just stama kasha. Now gufa, we mentioned that also gag v'not latinik mi'arisa mishulachas. We said if the animal goes up to the roof of a building and it takes a child from its crib, that's considered mishulachas. So ask the Gemara pshita. Well, that's a really strange thing for an animal to do. So luchera, that's very obvious that would be considered mishulachas. Why do I need the braisa to tell me that? Amra papa kikuche ditzayade. That we're discussing a case like a bird trapper's hideout, which is very low down. It's not a roof that's mamish on the top of a 5-story building. We're talking about a bird trapper's hideout, which is a very low roof, and therefore you might have thought that that's not considered super strange for the animal to go to the roof and take the child. Kamashal in the braisa, that is considered strange, and therefore that would be considered mishulachas.